That hymn has extra special meaning to me. I've been to Tizay, France, where the person who wrote that comes from, and when they say that they're going to have a Tizay service, it is a style of music, but we often forget that it is a place. It's a community of brothers who welcome all people, mostly young adults. I spent a week there during Holy Week, and we did sing this hymn a few times as well as others, and they didn't just sing it once. They sang it multiple times with many instruments, and you truly felt the Spirit moving in those moments. Let us pray. God, in these next few moments, may there be less and less of me and more of you. May you remember us. And may we remember you in these moments. For you, O God, are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So it's not Lent, it's not Holy Week, it's not Easter, but we are Christians and we are an Easter people. And so we do need to understand and revisit from time to time what led up to Jesus' resurrection. There's a lot of important parts and events and people that weave the stories of Jesus' life and death and resurrection all together. It's in all of the Gospels, but in every single one, they each look sort of different. They also have some similarities, though. Today, we are in the Gospel of Luke, and we are thinking about the penitent thief. The penitent thief is one of three people up on a cross being crucified, the others being another thief, and last but not least, Jesus. The Romans practiced crucifixion as a means of striking fear in the hearts of the people, and they did so for 800 years. Crucifixion was an extremely effective crime deterrent. Since crucifixions took place among the main thoroughfares where people would see them. Now, we commonly probably imagine Jesus being crucified at a very high height above us, but it's now believed that most crosses were no more than 9 feet tall, allowing room at the top of the cross for the sign that was affixed detailing the victim's crime. It's likely that the feet of the victim were at most 3 feet off the ground. Jesus hung on the cross 2 to 3 feet above his mother, the disciple John, the soldiers, and those who hurled insults at him. He could look into their eyes, and they could look into his. They were much closer than most imagine. And if I had somebody standing right here on a chair beside me, it would be if I was looking up at them and them down at me. That's how close it was. Throughout Luke, Jesus had not only proclaimed God's word, but he had enacted God's word. He had lived out God's word. This remains true even at the end of his human existence. There are passerbys. There are people standing observing the crucifixion. There are soldiers present at the foot of the cross, casting lots for Jesus' clothing, hurling insults at him. Jesus' family is present, and the other two people who are also being crucified. As all of these people from different paths and walks of life come together at the foot of the cross, we are reminded of the human condition. We as humans can resist the love, mercy, and truth of Jesus Christ. We silence the honest voice. We condemn the innocent agitator. We pursue our own agendas for the sake of expediency. We can tend to act more like the condemned man who jeers at Jesus along with the soldiers, for what reasons, we don't know, except that perhaps he's acting out of his fear. acting out of a hope to gain leniency, perhaps letting his true human nature shine through. We can be like him, or we can be like the penitent thief. Before he committed his crime, had he heard? Had he heard of the one who healed and loved and came to turn the world upside down? Or was it during the hike to Calvary Hill, the beams of his cross digging deep into his flesh, that he saw the crowd swell for the one before him, and he knew for the first time the weight of systemic injustice? Or was it while they were attached to the cross that he saw his neighbor in perfect silence, hanging as if weightless in the air? How did he know that the one dying alongside him was blameless? How did he know he was the Christ? Authentic faith takes root when we decide that for the sake of Jesus, I am no longer going to participate in something that is vindictive, punitive, or evil. That stand, the one that the repentant criminal makes, takes great courage. This stand is one that can provoke its own controversy and opposition. This stand, though, is the way of Jesus. It's the holy way, the nonviolent way, the discipleship way. It is the way to the reign of God. Jesus, in response to the thief, gives no quiz. He doesn't demand anything from him. He doesn't ask him what he believes or how he knows Jesus or if he even knows Jesus. He doesn't ask about his stance on current issues or his theology or his morals. He doesn't even ask him if he's been good or what he's done or if he's innocent or guilty. The thief humbly asks Jesus to remember him and doesn't demand anything in his request. He is sincere and he doesn't hide the sins that he's committed. In response, Jesus welcomes him into paradise. We learn a few things from the penitent thief. First, whatever evil or crime one has done is no barrier for acceptance into Jesus' kingdom. Jesus is even forgiving those who have done harm to him leading up to his death on the cross. He demonstrates this when he shares what are perhaps some of the most powerful words in the Bible. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Second, we can look to the penitent thief to teach us about what faith is. He did not declare himself a follower of Christ until that moment on the cross. He may have not even known about Jesus until those minutes or hours were passing them by. Yet he had faith, even though he didn't know what was on the other side, or what was to come, or what following Jesus fully meant. Third, we learn that if we listen to the penitent thief, we can open our eyes in order to better accept what we are, to recognize God's presence where we did not expect to find it, and to ask God to support us. We are liberated with the type of attitude that the penitent thief expresses and demonstrates during his crucifixion. We can work on discerning the traps that can be hidden in the voices around us with God there, and work with God and those who walk alongside us in our faith journeys to find the courage not to remain fixated on those voices. We can reflect on feelings of liberation before the cross, and we can use the thief's prayer to help us to find inner peace. Fourth, it should be a goal for us to want to be remembered by Jesus. And it is a blessing. What a blessing to be remembered by Jesus. Not only in our lives here on earth, but in our lives lived forever in paradise. We're getting ready to start school, and we have a lot of teachers in our midst. And I came across a story that I think helps us as we prepare to start the new school year, and one that talks about being remembered. Last week, I sat at the bedside of a woman who has struggled with her health for some time. It was her third hospitalization in a couple of months, and that afternoon, she was especially uncomfortable. Our conversation had waned when one of the cleaning staff quietly walked in. She greeted Anna by name and then proceeded to be about her work. As she was mopping in the far corner of the room, Anna turned to me and said that it always made her glad to see her students doing so well. As sick as she was, she made sure to speak these words loud enough so her former kindergarten student heard her. Before the woman left, she bent over her old teacher and kissed her on the forehead as she said goodbye. I found myself brushing away tears as I watched this tender remembering between them. It had been 40 years or more since that hospital worker had first entered Anna's classroom. I would guess their paths had not had reason to cross all that many times and places since. Indeed, we are blessed to be remembered this way. This sort of remembering spoken and acknowledged with love is a remembering that changes us. Both were better for having been remembered. Anna knew that her work so long ago had made a difference. The woman pushing her cleaning cart walked a little taller to know her old teacher was proud of her. If remembering is powerful enough here and now to change us for the better, how much more meaningful is it when such remembering happens in the mind and heart of Jesus? How did the penitent thief know that the one dying alongside him was blameless? How did he know he was the Christ? Regardless of how, he was convinced of it the way death makes all things clear. So he told the truth about his own brokenness and the suffering Savior beside him, opening himself up to redemption, pointing to the one who might bestow it. Jesus remembers the thief in his kingdom. The thief was teaching us to remember Jesus by pointing to the cross. Jesus remembers each and every one of us. Amen.